Hello, this is Brad Warren, and you are listening to Beyond the Event, a youth ministry podcast presented by Christ in Youth, where we help you maintain momentum between the mountaintops. Getting real close to summer, guys. Want you to know, we can still get you plugged in at Move. We can still get you plugged in at Mix. So if you're not already registered, let me know how we can help make that happen. Engage, if you want to start having conversations about going on Engage trips in 2025. Yes, that is a real year. In 2025, we can start having those conversations right now too. We love the church. We love serving you guys. So if there are any obstacles that we can help you overcome when it comes to getting you to our events and on our trips, please just let us know. We really relish and look forward to the chance to serve you. Can't wait for that to happen this summer as well. Well, on today's episode, we have a great conversation planned for you. We're going to be talking to Tyler Lane. Tyler is the next generation team lead at Valley Real Life Church, which is in Spokane, Washington. It is pronounced Spokane. I did learn that today. So Tyler's been at it for a long time. He's been at Valley Real Life for about 7 years, been in youth ministry for about 15. So he's got a lot of great wisdom, and I'm really looking forward to you hearing what he has to say. So let's head over to my conversation with Tyler. Tyler, thank you so much for coming and being on Beyond the Event. Glad you're here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
I would imagine that people have yelled at me for how I say the word for so long. Say the city that you're in.
Spokane.
Spokane. So I'm not allowed to say Spokane is the thing that they hate.
No, the E is unnecessary.
Okay. Spokane. All right. Tell me about Spokane, Washington today, because in Joplin, Missouri, it's not a great situation weather-wise. So you guys doing all right out there?
You know, it's been a weird winter in that we have not had a ton of snow. And listen, I'm not from Spokane, so I'm never mad when we have winters where we don't have a ton of snow.
Yeah.
So it's going to get up to the 50s today, a little sunny.
Okay.
It's like the first time we've seen sun in a few weeks, but.
So we're going to let that set the tone for this podcast and not.
Okay.
Not Joplin world. Okay. Which, so you're not from there. Where are you from?
So I was born and raised in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Stillwater, Oklahoma. And nice. Then went to Ozark and then was a youth pastor at a church in the Bay Area of California for about 5 years before moving up here to Spokane 7 years ago.
So tell me about Spokane, especially coming from, you know, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Joplin, I feel like pretty similar in line, like culture wise. What did you have to get used to moving out there?
Yeah. So, probably the most important part of that journey though, for me was my 5 year stop, in the Bay Area of California, because there's very few worlds that are as different between like the Joplin, Oklahoma world and the Bay Area. And so incredibly diverse, incredibly fast paced, incredibly expensive, all of these things, some of the things we really like, some of the things we preferred not to have.
Yeah.
And so when we moved up to Spokane, we really didn't know, I didn't know anything about it. I knew Gonzaga was here and that was it, you know, like, I like you didn't know how to pronounce it, you know, all those things. And so, but what we found is it feels like this mesh of, kind of the West Coast influence, but still heavily family centric. And so, most people, when they think of Spokane, I tell people I'm from Washington, they think of Seattle or they think of like, you know, Northwest, they think of Portland, you know, that type of stuff. And so, the East side of Washington is a completely different world than the West side of Washington. And so, incredibly family centric, much more conservative. You know, Northern Idaho is as conservative as they get. Our church is 10 miles from the Washington-Idaho border. And Seattle's as liberal as it gets, and we're kind of like right in the middle there. And so it's kind of the things we've loved about growing, like my wife and I both grew up in Oklahoma, the things we loved about Oklahoma and the things that we loved about living in California, but they kind of mesh into kind of this nice little cozy town. I describe Spokane as like the largest small town. Like right. There's 250,000 people that live in this area, but man, it feels like everybody knows everybody and they have weird customs and, you know, stuff like that. So, that's how I describe it.
So a lot of people who do ministry on the West Coast describe like this, like in the Midwest, we're very much starting to deal with like a post-Christian kind of thing. You know what I mean? Where a lot of parents and grandparents that grew up in the church, but are no longer involved in the church or having kids that really have no memories of the church, but those older generations kind of do. And I feel like a lot of people that I talk to out in the West Coast, very much like more unchurched is how they would describe it. So which of those worlds are you living in, or is it kind of both?
It's kind of both. I think at the core, both of them are de-churched in a lot of ways. Like it's just a dependent on like how many generations removed from the church experience, right?
Sure.
Like most of the people that we like Spokane one is like ethnically the least diverse place I've ever lived. It's like 98% white,
including Joplin, Missouri.
Yeah. Including Joplin, Wild. Missouri. And so, but the diversity comes in, there's a huge like Slavic Russian population in Spokane because the climate is apparently the same. And so they kind of come over and they don't like Seattle, so they just keep going. And so what I've learned in 7 years is like Russian people, Ukrainian people, they have a deep religious heritage. Hmm. And so that, there, you know, several Slavic churches here. And so I think that kind of allows for that. But then, so you've got that heritage, you've got the de-churched, you know, of just like, I'm just living kind of my own life. I just want to do my own thing. Church is maybe a part of my family's history, but not necessarily mine. And then the Mormon church is huge here.
Really?
Huge here.
Yeah. I guess you're not that far from like the Salt Lake area.
Yeah. You just go like Utah straight up to Boise. Boise is huge in the Mormon population, and just kind of comes straight up there. And so, I would say honestly, that's one of the things like, every week at our youth group, we have a handful of Mormon kids that'll come with their friends or whatever. And, and so kind of informing like, hey man, what are these differences? How are we similar, but how are we different in very key ways? And what do those relationships look like? Seems to be kind of a hot issue, but I would say most of the people we're seeing, their family history has some type of church background.
Yeah. It's just like, how far back do you have to go in order to get there? Yeah. So what has, where has Valley Real Life found its kind of niche within all of that? Like, who are you seeing that you're having success kind of reaching and resonating with there?
Yeah. So our kind of our big thing right now is just like, if we left the community, like if our church shut down, would the community even know we were here? And as we went into COVID, you know, several years ago, I guess like 4 years ago, that was kind of this sentiment that we were like starting to really have this conversation about. And it kind of led us through COVID. It's led us out of COVID about like, how can we be intentional in the community? And so at the youth ministry side, for me, it's like, how do I invest in my leaders to go be in the community? One of the things we found success with is we just like rearranged some of our budget and said, okay, man, schools here were hit really hard because of COVID. And so,
can I interrupt you really quick? In what way do you mean? Like,
yeah, so we didn't, when we shut down in March of 2020, our students at like the high school level and middle school level did not go back in person until April of 2021.
My gosh. Okay.
Yeah. So they did some varying levels of like online, whatever, but like,
right. But the social consequences of that are just like unreal.
Yeah. Huge. And like, that's been one of our biggest challenges coming out of COVID is man, a lot of these age groups lost an entire year of that social development, that educational development. I talk with teachers a lot. I talk with parents a lot of just like, man, the classroom management is the hardest aspect coming out of that. Cause for a year, they could just turn their camera off and just say they were listening. And as long as they're turning their stuff in, that was fine, you know? And so now, like, to come back and try to manage them, we see that at our midweek program. Like, our middle schoolers are just like wild right now, like just wild. And, but you're starting to learn, man, like at a very key part of their development, developmental stages, it was like interrupted. And for an entire year,
yeah, like, couldn't press, go, press pause for a year.
So sports didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like our football season got moved to May, like of 2021, you know, cause that was the first time they could gather. And you know, my daughter was in kindergarten when we went into COVID, and for her first 2 years of school. So kindergarten, which she did half online, which is not ideal. And then all the way through first grade, she was masked up in a class. Right. And so I think that just like, definitely informs kind of the now what ministry looks like now. And so we kind of came coming out of that in 2022. We have a high school that's like a mile and a half from our building. And we were like, how can we just love the teachers, love the faculty, show them that we're here, show them we care with no strings attached. And so we just brought them breakfast one day and to one of their staff meetings and just said, hey, thank you. You know, thank you for all you're doing. We see you. God sees you. Keep going. And then we have two other high schools kind of in the same, what we call the Valley, bigger high schools. And so we were like, let's do it for them too. Let's figure it out. And we've got teachers that work at them and come to our church. And so we did it. So then the next year we went from three high schools. We added three middle schools to that, that were closest to us. And then last year we added three more schools, three more high schools to that. And so we're just starting the process of doing that again. We're going to add three more schools again, this year. So we'll end up doing 12 schools, kind of in our area of just like, hey, here's some Panera bagels and some coffee. We love you guys. We're so thankful for the investment you guys are making, and we're here for you. And so it's been cool just to see, I get texts from our teachers that go to these schools and they're like, man, thank you so much. I got to have a conversation with my coworkers about where I go and how proud I am.
That's cool.
So it starts to start some of those conversations. And, so just trying to make a presence and being around, and trying to get, creative with how we're kind of partnering with the schools, even though, you know, it's definitely challenging. I actually think it's easier to get into schools out here than it was when I was at College Heights in Joplin or, you know, working in Oklahoma. And I think part of it is like I think the idea is that it's less open to church, which may be true, but it's more open to just everything. And so because of that, it's like everybody gets a seat at the table.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting. So we spend a lot of time like working with students on how can we start like Christian clubs at their school. It has to be student led, but okay, how can we do that? Just this last week, I got to go chance to speak at a middle school before school started, and just see these students that are excited to bring this. And you know, it feels like we have teachers in almost every school, so it's like, okay, how do we leverage that? How do we reinforce them and encourage them? And that's been honestly one of the funnest parts over the last couple of years. And just like what's been going on in our ministry is how do we kind of show up in these places that people aren't expecting us to show up in?
Yeah, no, that's incredible that you guys are just serving in that way. I mean, if someone brought me a cinnamon crunch bagel from Panera,
it's the best bagel.
It's like I would feel loved. So yeah, I think you're doing a good thing. So how you kind of started to get into it, but I want to peel back layers. How has that like culture at Valley bled down into the student ministry, and how does that kind of impact the way that you program and the way that you minister to students and that kind of thing?
Yeah. So, I should probably explain kind of the structure of our ministry a little bit, because I think that affects
yeah,
it.
That's
so
great.
We don't have any student programming in our weekend services. We have four weekend services every weekend. We have a Thursday night service. And then we have three Sunday morning services. And we don't have any student programming at that. We push all of our students to serve on the weekend service and attend church. Right.
Incredible.
And so, which I love, it's awesome. And then we have, what we call midweek, like most churches, I feel like at this point,
with, on Wednesday night, with no vowels, right?
No vowels. You better believe it. No
MD,
vowels.
MDWK. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, on Wednesday night, that's middle school and high school. It's kind of like what we call our front door to our ministry. It's kind of the stereotypical youth group, worship, games, and then we split middle school and high school for teaching. And then we have what we call conversation groups, kind of just going over the message. Okay, how do we continue what's happening? And then on Sunday nights, we have life groups. Life groups is what our church calls them, right? So small groups, life groups, community groups, whatever you want to call it. Sure. But we have it on Sunday nights. And for high school, they meet in homes all across our valley. They're separated by grade and gender. So we might have multiple groups in a home, but you know, all the senior guys hang out at one house and have several leaders and all that stuff. And so our middle school has life group at the same time, but they meet at our church. And so it's really cool just to see, like, as we've gotten more in the community and we've started to like cast that vision to our students, like it gives them a place to bring their friends, right? So like every week we're seeing, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10 new students a week because their students are bringing their friends. And that's kind of the pressure we put on our students to say like, hey, my job is not to get your friends here. My job is to equip you with the resources and the courage to bring your friends here. And that's going to be more effective anyway. Like a random person come off the street may stick around, but if they come with you, they know they have somebody safe and somebody close. And so that's been kind of the challenge. And then our goal is like on Wednesday nights, how do we just create the funnest, most intentional environment we can? And some weeks we do a good job of that. Some weeks we don't, you know? And
we've all had the youth group game that that just falls flat a little bit. I get that. No. So, I want to dig in on something that you just said, though. You said that your job is to equip students to be able to invite their friends. So let's just talk about what that actually looks like.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, how do you, what is it that you are giving to a student that gives them confidence to be able to do that?
Yeah. So what we like to do is let our students help plan what we're doing. And so like Wednesday nights, our worship is done 100% by students, from eighth grade all the way to senior. And then like our hosting, like the games and announcements and stuff, those are done by students like 90% of the time. It's really rare if me or my middle school lead, Emma, does that. And so, she's really poured into our band. She's poured into these like hosts to make sure that they're bringing fun or whatever. But then when they are on stage, like they're more likely to invite somebody, you know, because they're like, hey, come see me, right? Like, come have fun with this. And then just the relational environment, I think, is huge. That's a big thing at our church, talk about relational discipleship all the time. We make it, we're like, hey, don't feel like you have to have all the answers. You don't have to like win somebody to Jesus. Just invite them to what God's doing in your life. And so we really try to focus on just like developing their own faith and developing what they're excited about and what Jesus is doing, and making sure we have intentional and relational leaders that are pouring into them and that are having fun with them and challenging them and holding them accountable, right? And that's kind of the development. And so much of it for us is at the leader level, that I found the more I invest in my leaders, the more I have fun with my leaders, the more I spend recruiting leaders and challenging them and holding them to what it, then that kind of trickles down to their investment in the students. And when I do that, we get to reach a lot more students because I can reach a certain number of leaders who can reach a certain number of students. And, it starts to work with that. So a lot of that is just like living like an intentional life with our students and being honest. And students want to be a part of that. And I think that's why for our high school students, we have like twice as many students, high school students that are a part of our life groups than that come to our weekly midweek program. Because
so your life group ministry is larger than the midweek thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
that's
and
really
the crazy
interesting.
Part, yeah. Yeah. The crazy part is like we close it. So like once it starts, we don't add people throughout the semester and we charge for it. Right. Like, so they, like we do a study every year, we'll do a different, you know, different study and all that stuff. We charge for it, you know, but they love the relational environment. Whereas you look at our middle school ministry, it's actually flipped, right? It's two times, maybe even three times as many kids come to our midweek program. They love the big energy. They love the games. They love just like being there. And in our life groups ministry, like that's probably an area where we're like, how do we do this better? You know, like how do we get middle school students excited about discipleship? But at the core, I think what our high school students are learning and modeling is just biblical community, you know, and that's, hey, it's not always going to be a Bible study. Sometimes it's going to be fun. Sometimes it's going to be this, you know, there's a bunch of different lenses we can look at what life groups look like, but do they have this community that they feel safe with, that they want to be a part of? It's honestly my favorite thing that we do here. And just the intentionality, it requires so much of me to equip my leaders, because I'm not a part of any of them. I don't lead a life group. I just lead the leaders who are leading life groups. And so we get together a couple of times a year as a whole group, and the rest of it is, you know, lunches and coffees and text message conversations, stuff like that.
So I'm interested in how, so you said high school ministry is like maybe 2-to-1, twice as many kids come to the live groups as come to your midweek programming. So what about the Sunday morning serving thing? How many kids do you think you have like activated and involved in what happens on Sunday mornings?
Of our active students, I would say probably like 40%.
It's incredible.
And then if you just took like the ones that, and so like on Wednesday nights, I would say 30% of our students who come on Wednesday nights, their families don't come to our church. Mm.
Yeah.
Right. So that obviously skews that number, right? Like they haven't made that jump from Wednesday nights being this fun place where they're at to like, this is the church that I call home. Like of our active students, I would guess probably like four would be like between kids ministry. We've got a full cafe. Our worship team and tech team is awesome about like equipping. Like I just had this freshman guy who's been running lights and slides for me for like the last couple of months. And he started running lights and tech for our kids ministry, our elementary class. And he was like, hey, I think like it came to me. He's like, hey, I think Wednesday nights would be like more of a challenge. Like I want to keep doing the Sunday so it doesn't conflict, but, could I do this? So I got him trained, and our student ministry on Wednesday night meets in our main auditorium. Mm-hmm. So it's one of my favorite things. It gets kids comfortable with the main weekend stuff. Right. Which is another kind of result out of COVID. So then he went to our main tech guy and was like, hey, do you think I could come shadow for weekend services? And this kid's like 14, you know, and our tech guy who just like loves investing into the next generation too. He was like, yeah, come shadow. And so we got three services on Sunday. And so he was like, hey, watch me during practice, watch me in the first service. And if everything's going good, let's just have you jump on at 9:30 and 11. And so every service I'd see him, he'd come down and get like, you know, go to the bathroom or whatever, come down from kind of our media booth. And I'd be like, hey man, how's it going? And he's like, dude, this is awesome. You know, like he was just so pumped, you know, and starting to really feel like this is a good role for him within the church. And so, those are the things that get me excited too. Just like seeing them get excited, or, you know, students that, you know, like are like 15, 16, 17, getting involved in our cafe. And then it springs them into like their first job at, like Washington's known for having like way too many coffee stands, you know? And so, there's no shortage of that, but they get like work experience while they're serving and helping people. And, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. So I think that a lot of youth pastors would say that they would like to get to a place where most youth pastors would be like, man, if 40% of my kids were serving on a Sunday morning, that would be mind blowing. Yeah. Awesome. Amazing. I think an obstacle that a lot of people run into is getting buy-in from all of those ministry leaders. So you talked about your tech guy and how open he is to training people up and allowing people to be a part of what happens on Sunday morning. Have you had to, would you say you feel like you've had to do work in order to get buy-in from other people in the building to let like wacky high school students help out in their ministries?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say by and large, no, because I inherited it. You know, and the guys that came before me, I think did a really good job. Our lead pastor believes in it, you know,
I think that's
he's
huge.
Adamant, especially like for our high school ministry, he's adamant. And like, we're kind of, it's one of the things that drew me out here, that we don't have high school ministry stuff during weekend services so that they can come and be a part of the church. Like as they're preparing to graduate, like that's a huge aspect of that. And so I think, you know, from the top down, that's something that is not just welcomed, but almost expected, right? Like it's a conversation we have on a regular basis. And one of the things that like our lead guy talks about a lot is my job. I mean, my title is the next gen team lead, but I'm hands-on in high school ministry. And so, like my job as a high school pastor is not just to create these programs for students, but to minister to all of the high school students that we have in our church. Because there's a decent number of families and high school students that come to our church that don't come to our program, right? Like, and it's just part of it. And so how do we connect to them? And a lot of ways we can do that, because they're already coming on Sunday mornings, is to connect through serving, to get them serving in different places. And so I've been blessed here, that that's just something that, that by and large people have bought into. But I think there's a couple areas where, you know, we've really worked. Like my approach has been, okay, I just want to build a relationship with that lead. And then pitch like one or two students that I think would be great at serving on their team. And like, let's trial run it, you know, and then use those students to like prove that, hey, high school students, sometimes middle school students can do this and can do this pretty well.
No and pressure, I think, right?
Yeah. And so,
don't mess up.
And I think when I first got here, like our worship team was kind of at that place where they had some like just typical teenagers be a part of the team. And so they would show up late, or they, you know, they couldn't get a ride or whatever. So they kind of had made it more challenging for a high school student to come and be a part of it. And so at first I was like, man, I was frustrated by that. And really I just started to focus on, okay, let's just build the relationship. Let's build the trust. We didn't have a high school band at all at the time. And so I said, let's build that up. Let's give them a place where they can serve first and they can get really good at it. And then I can be like, hey, look, they're doing awesome. What about over here, you know, and start to slide in. And so we've seen that, kind of grow. That's an area where I feel like we've seen some investment and we've seen some fruit come from that. And it's kind of created this culture of worship in our church, in our student ministry, that didn't really exist, 7 years ago.
Yeah, that's awesome. So love that you feel like you walked into a culture where that was going to be, expected and that kind of thing. That's really cool. So is there any, honestly, Valley Real Life sounds like the dream gig, you know, it's like the whole church is on board with making sure that we're raising up disciples in high school ministry, all these kinds of things. So, so that all the people who are listening to this don't get disillusioned and tune out.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something. Where is an area where you're trying to, or feeling like you are having to fight to instill like a culture that you believe is going to be necessary for the overall health of the student ministry? Like what's an obstacle you're running up against?
Yeah, that's great. Great question. I definitely don't want to paint any pictures that like, I mean, I love where I work, but it's tough, you know, too, right? Like every church
everywhere
has its own things and
yeah.
You know, the messes and all this stuff. You know, I think for me, one of the things, that is kind of student leadership. We've done it well in certain seasons. I don't feel like we're doing really well in it right now. Of just creating like, okay, how do we provide another level? We have some students who are stepping up, but like, man, how do we give them more and more ownership of this ministry? I think student ministry is like the first ministry that's for them and can be done by them. So I want to give them more, but that takes a lot of time and a lot of energy, that I don't always have, or don't prioritize. So I think that's part of it. And then I think like with a lot of them, like I mentioned, like we're having new kids come all the time, like on Wednesday nights, but our numbers are not growing at the same rate of like our new kids coming. Right. And so kind of like church attendance, you know, they say, in the Western half of the United States, they say the average church attendee, is like 1.2 times a month. We see that a lot on our Wednesday nights. When I was growing up in Oklahoma, like Wednesdays was kind of a sacred day. Like we didn't get homework on Wednesdays. We didn't have sports on Wednesdays. There's no sacred day here. That's probably true for most places in America now, I would guess. But, just fighting against like, but trying not to see it as fighting against schools and activities, but we are fighting for their attention, fighting for their time. And so we'll get kids that'll come occasionally, you know, but like trying to create that buy-in. And we see that at camps, we're able to do, you know, bring way more to camps than we do on a weekly basis. Because camp is like that one thing, and we've created a culture of camps, you know, thanks to CIY that helps a ton with that. But it's like, okay, but come and be a part of this every week. Like, how do we all year, we can do these things. We can build these relationships. The core of this is not the event, but the relationship and these like connections that we're building. So how do we bridge that? And, you know, so I think that the, just as wide as our front door is in our ministry right now, I feel like our back door, is just as wide open. And so kids are kind of walking through the house and walking right out. So just that follow up and that intentionality, and kind of keeping them around and, to where they can really grow is probably our biggest challenge right now.
Yeah. And like, I remember talking to somebody, I don't even remember who it was, who was kind of talking about the dynamic that you mentioned where kids, you know, the average church attendee comes 1.2 times a month or whatever. So then, if I'm doing my math right, if you need to say something that you want everyone to hear, you have to say it 4 weeks in a row, right? You got to really pound it home in order to make sure that you're, so having any kind of momentum through like a series in youth ministry or any kind of thing becomes difficult. But, so you said you have a lot more kids that come to camp and do that kind of thing. I'm sure you've given some thought to this, and I'd love to just kind of brainstorm with you, even though it sounds like this is something you're going to work on. But have you given much thought to, okay, how can we capitalize on that? How can we bring some of the momentum? I mean, we're getting ready to enter a season where it's insane for me to realize this, but it's basically summer, right? So we're getting ready to head off to all these camps. Kids are going to have a great time. They're going to build relational bonds. They're going to feel closer to Jesus. What does bringing them down off of that mountaintop look like at Valley Real Life? Like, how do we capitalize on that, you know?
Yeah. And I would say, like, we try to really do that through our life groups. My goal every year is that we get 100% of our life group leaders at camp. We go to Move. In Oregon, at the end of July. And we look at that as the beginning of our school year. Mm-hmm. You know, all the kids have moved up to their next grades. I've tried to recruit, I was just meeting with a leader the other day who is an eighth grade leader. I'm trying to cast vision like, hey, do you want to move up with your girls? You've been with them for 3 years. Do you want to stay in middle school, kind of go back down? Like, what's that look like? And I was just like, man, you're going to see some fruit, you know? And she's like, okay, when do I need to make that decision? I was like, well, I need to know about camp by like May. And she was like, okay, you know, cause I was like, if we can lock in camp, then we create this momentum for the fall. Right.
Yeah.
And so our big kind of like next step at camp is get into a life group. We say it all the time.
You're saying that at Move, like.
At Move. So like our registration for life groups for the fall open the first day we are at camp. Nice. And so we talk about it, cause it's just easy like to be like, hey, these groups that you're having this big transformation, this can be that group that you spend the rest of the school year with. Yeah. If you guys are intentional, if you can kind of commit. And so we'll send out a message. It's automated, to parents during that week that say, hey, your kids are having a great time at camp. Why don't you help them continue this on by signing them up for a life group right now? So while they're at camp, their parents are getting an email to say, hey, come be a part of life groups. And so we see that every year. And we do a winter camp in February as well. So kind of like the halfway point. And we start our life groups in the spring after winter camp intentionally. So we can, okay, here's another camp experience, a completely different experience than what we experienced at Move, because it's at a camp. It's just our group, and it's more rustic and those types of things, but kind of two different experiences hitting two different types of people and kids. And it's just over a weekend, but we're still like the next step is the same. Hey, come be a part of a life group, carry this momentum on. And it feels like we make incremental like improvements with that every year and in the intentionality. Life groups last summer didn't get hit as hard at summer camp at Move, but that's mainly because I spent all of Move in the hospital.
Right.
And so I
heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good time. So my appendix decided it did not want to stay in my body. And so I got to experience Move secondhand from the hospital room. But and so some of those intentionality and just those details don't always happen. But it was a fun exercise to see. Like, you always ask that question, like, hey, if the leader got hit by a bus, how would this event, how would this go? You know, what does that look like?
And the leader did. And
So what happened? And luckily we just have a great team of leaders and a great staff team as well that just said, like, hey, it's not about Tyler. He's never made this about him. And so let's just keep going and let's make this happen. And largely, I don't think they skipped a beat. So
I love it. Yeah. It's great that you're seeing the incremental change though. Cause I think, from a buy-in perspective, the more students, I should say, are able to see the fruit in their own lives of that type of ministry, the more they are going to vouch for it to the people around them, and the more their commitment is going to increase for the following year. So it's like, man, we just hope that every year we see some progress, and then maybe, you know, another 8 years from now, we're sitting down talking about how this is like a super, super strong aspect of the ministry that you have such high involvement in that. So. I hope so. Anyway. Sure.
Yeah. That's the hope, right? Like, I think just in ministry, like I've done student ministry for 16 years, right? Like, and it's awesome when you get droves of kids that come or you like see this, but like most of youth ministry is like incremental, you know, like you see just like a couple kids, like the light bulb clicks, or a couple kids are decided to get their life to Jesus, or a couple kids are like jumping into understanding what kingdom work looks like, or they're choosing to go into ministry. Like in my experience, that hasn't come in like droves or these waves as much as, it just, you got to put the relational effort and energy and being intentional relationally, whether that's leaders or students, it's like a combination of both. Right. Depending on your context. And I've been at small churches, I've been at larger churches, and yet the approach can stay the same. And it just, it's incremental. You know, that's the word that keeps coming back to me.
It's being faithful through a lot of the like two steps forward, one step back kind of stuff. Like, all right, we can, you know, but a lot of youth pastors do put a lot of pressure on an event or a, you know, call to action or a particular sermon or series. It's like, okay, I'm really excited about this. Maybe this is going to be the thing that builds some momentum, but takes a long time.
It does. Yeah.
So you've been there. And
drive hard. Yeah. Yeah. 7 years I've been here. Let's just keep building. Let's keep creating this momentum. And what does that look like? And as people kind of come and go, and you know, like in 7 years, I've now seen an entire group from sixth grade all the way through, you know, high school, you know, go through, and it's a completely different group and culture than when I first got here, because the kids change it, right? Like, I think that's one of the things I love most and frustrates me the most about student ministry, right? Like in high school ministry, like literally it's a completely new ship every 4 years. Mm-hmm. There's no retaining, you know, like it's just constantly kind of changing and flowing, and you got to, you know, stay intentional with that. And it's the thing that makes my hair continue to recede, and it's the thing that gives me life too, you know.
Things can be two things, right? as Lane Moss exactly. always says. So, well, Tyler, I really appreciate you taking some time to chat with me today. A lot of really great stuff to chew on. So, you're awesome. Appreciate it. Keep up the good work out there, man.
Brad, man, I appreciate the invitation, and just so thankful for the work that you guys are doing and what you allow us to do through CIY and through summer conferences and things like that. So thank you so much.
Well, it's an honor, man. Thank you. Man, what a great conversation. So thankful for Tyler and for the reminder that you know, it's not our job to build these super big attractional programs that the if you build it, they will come model so that students will want to show up to our events, but that it is about putting tools in the hands of students so that they are comfortable sharing the gospel with their friends, and they're comfortable bringing their friends to be a part of what the Father is doing through their local churches. So I'm grateful for that reminder. I hope that you take that reminder to heart and that it is able to be a blessing to your ministry. Speaking of blessing, how's that for a segue? I'm going to close us out today by reading our blessing over you, our wonderful listeners. May God show you grace and bless you. May He make His face shine on you. May you experience the love of Christ, through whom God gives you fullness of life. May you be strengthened by His power. May Christ Himself make His home in your heart, that you would be full of His love and grace, and that those you serve would see Jesus in you. Today's episode was produced by Michael Hester, Lauren Bryan, and myself. Thank you so much to Tyler for being with us today, all the way from Spokane, Washington, thanks to the power of technology. And of course, thank you for listening. Thanks for being with us today. If you liked what you heard, please be sure to subscribe to Beyond the Event wherever you listen to podcasts. We're going to be back in a couple weeks. But you can feel free to connect with us in the meantime by reaching out to us on the CIY Community Facebook group or by email at podcast@CIY.com. See you next time.